Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Good evening, folks. You're listening to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, August 7th, 2010. Now, even though we're live, I did a pre-recorded interview with Lucas, also known as Wayne Young, from yesterday, and I'm going to be playing that, at least for the next hour. It may go into somewhat into the next hour somewhat. So we're going to be playing that, and then towards the end of the show, maybe I'll read a few articles. Again, you're listening to Live Day, live Saturday night, August 7th, 2010. Here's a pre-recorded interview I did with Lucas yesterday. Please enjoy it, folks. Okay, folks, I'm going to be interviewing Lucas. That's a pseudonym for his real name. His real name is Wayne Young. He no longer cares about people knowing who he is, since the government's already figured out who he is. I consider Lucas here to be one of the top-notch researchers into the subject of Planet X, also known as the Wormwood, Nibiru, the Dark Star, the Destroyer, the Planet of the Crossing. It comes under quite a number of names. I don't have a bio here on Lucas. I think he prefers to stay low profile, even though people know who he is. But anyway, we're going to be bringing Lucas on here in a second. I got some pretty interesting items here in my paper in front of me to discuss with him. Lucas was a guest on John Moore's radio show over on Republic Broadcasting Network on Sunday, August 1st. I have that posted on my Archives Miscellaneous subpage in case anybody wants to check it out. It was a pretty good interview. So anyway, we're going to bring Lucas on the air now.
Okay.
Well, we got Lucas on the line now, and I'd like you to talk about what's going on with this inbound passage of Planet X, and whatever you want to bring to the table.
Oh, okay. All right. It's well, you know, I'll let you set the topic matter. You have a lot of important information to put out there yourself. But what would you like to talk about?
Well, the first thing we could get into is Project HARP. I was just doing some research here on this. I read that HARP was used to locate oil deposits. Is being used to locate oil deposits, and sure enough, Jerry E. Smith, you know, he was one of the most prominent public speakers on Project HARP, and He dies of cancer a month before the Deepwater Horizon oil rig goes down. Do you think there's any connection there?
Very well could be. You know, there's so many different facets to this, it's impossible to research, you know, every aspect of it. I was actually, just a few minutes ago, was looking at a video called The Tale of Two Wells on YouTube, and it's about them doing a switch-up on the BP oil wells, and I don't quite understand it yet, but there looks like there's something fishy going on down there with two different wells, and you know, there's, like I said, there's just so many facets to all this. You know, we don't even know if it's a planet, if it's a star, if it's a black hole, if it's just a cloud of gas, you know, a big cloud of gas. You know, nobody really knows what's up there in space that causes this or exactly how it happens. But what's really interesting to me is that in recent times they found out that the rivers in the United States used to flow east to west, and then they also found out through the NASA and the space shuttle found out that the Nile River used to flow east to west. So that would tell you that the planet's axis was different at one point in time, and that the whole axis of the world just flipped.
Well, yeah, I have to watch that video yet. Somebody sent me that video, A Tale of Two Oil Wells.
Yeah, it's an interesting video.
Do you think that they're just lying about the Gulf crisis and they don't really have that thing plugged? Because me and my Planet X researcher friend John DiNardo think that that there's natural disasters popping up all over the place, and that's why the Corexit is in the Gulf, because they want to conceal all the oil that's still seeping up from these fissures on the seabed floor.
I have a feeling there's probably some truth to that. That's why I have a feeling all the oil wells are popping all around the world, because, I mean, obviously these are long pipes that are put through, thousands of feet of rock, and when that rock shifts around and moves, it's going to snap those pipes. And I have a feeling that that's what may be causing, you know, there were earthquakes down in Mexico right around the time, I believe. Now, don't hold me to this, but I do believe that there were earthquakes in Mexico right around the time that this had happened, you know, so I haven't done much research into it. I just remember that there might be a connection there.
I did hear something about a natural gas pipeline explosion in North Texas, and there was a quake when that happened.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, there's just so much stuff to keep track of. It's like a barrage. It's a total barrage of things happening, from cosmic events to, you know, earth events, weather events, you know, economy, the human aspect of it all. There's just millions of different facets to this whole thing to keep track of.
But you are firmly convinced that this is this inbound passage, or this cosmic event that's about to transpire, is the mother of all conspiracies, right?
Oh, yeah. I do believe that they've known about it for a long time. Did you just read that the UN Charter ends on 12/21/2012?
No.
I mean, not the UN Charter. I mean the Charter for the Federal Reserve. Yeah, the Federal Reserve Charter ends on 12/21/2012.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, do some research into that. And, yeah, there's a lot of interesting things that I think they've known about it a long time. And, you know, this is the gray area here, is that, unfortunately, you know, with almost 7 billion people on the planet, right, you just can't come out with this information. It's good that the way the information sifts out into the open-minded people and is not presented to the general public in the form of CNN or something like that, because then everybody would probably die. Because everybody would freak out and lose their composure, they'd stop working, they'd get depressed, you know, they basically throw their arms up in the air and say, what am I going to do? So it's good that the information just seeps out very slowly through the masses like this.
But you were talking there about the UN Charter, so you think things like Agenda 21 and that have been set up, all these police state measures have been set up because this is what's they're going to need to implement after the dust settles, after these earth cataclysms?
Well, you know, it's going to be pretty, you know, it's going to be pretty chaotic, I would suggest. I mean, people freak. A good example is in India, Well, when you said UN Charter, remember I actually meant to say the Charter for the Federal Reserve. You know, a good example of how people are is there was, I think it was like 2 years ago, there was some sort of religious ceremony being held in India, and there was a rumor of a fight that got started. And basically, there was a rumor that there was a fight, and it started a stampede of people, and hundreds of people were killed, I believe, and several, you know, there were a lot of people injured. And that was all based upon nothing, you know, and look how people reacted to that. So I typically don't believe any.
Coming into the break. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be back. Folks, welcome back to the Light of Day with your host Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, August 7th, 2010. I'm playing a pre-recorded interview with Lucas, also known as Wayne Young, from yesterday. This interview was pre-recorded in seven parts for this broadcast tonight. The end of show segment three, the next show segment, is probably going to cut off the tail end of the third segment. But if you folks want to listen to this in its entirety without any interruptions, I'll be posting that on my Archives Miscellaneous subpage after this show concludes. Anyway, back to part two of the pre-recorded with Lucas, folks.
Example of how people are is there was, I think it was like 2 years ago, there was some sort of religious ceremony being held in India. And there was a rumor of a fight that got started. And basically, there was a rumor that there was a fight, and it started a stampede of people, and hundreds of people were killed, I believe, and several, you know, there were a lot of people injured. And that was all based upon nothing, you know, and look how people reacted to that. So I typically don't believe anymore where I used to believe years ago that there was a group of people, well, there are groups of people who do believe in eugenics and want to sift out population in certain ways, but the majority of people in the government don't want to kill off the masses of people. They actually want to preserve, you know, make sure that our country comes out on top rather than having a country like China or Russia come out on top of this. They want to make sure that our country comes out on top, and they don't want to kill our citizens, you know. I mean, when you think that the barium is there to kill people, and then all of a sudden you realize that nobody's dying over it, and barium absorbs radiation, obviously they're spraying that stuff up in the air to not only protect themselves, but they want to make sure that humanity goes on. Nobody has the intention of wiping out all humanity. And even the elites and the people at the top don't have all the variables. They don't know what's going to happen. You know, all they know is, I mean, they know what, they may know what type of event's going to happen, but they don't know what the outcome is going to be. All they can do is prepare for it just like anybody else.
Yeah, I was just, you just read my mind. I was talking to my friends, friend in Milwaukee and my Planet X researcher friend, John DiNardo, about the chemtrail spraying, and we think that you might really be onto something there with the chem, about what the chemtrail spraying is really all about, because you know, that's what we always hear in the alternative research community. They're spraying the chemtrails to make us all sick, but I think there's something deeper going on with that.
Well, who's getting sick? Well, now barium and that sort of thing does have a reaction to the body, and it will lower your immune system. But I believe that that's where in the, you know, the Christian Bible it says that, you know, in the end times, there'll be a lot of plague and a lot of sickness amongst the people, and that could just be because of the barium lowering people's, you know, their immune systems. But at the same time, I mean, look at the cancer rates have shot up. Now, what's going to happen if you have a brown dwarf star out there in space ejecting a bunch of X-rays and a bunch of subatomic particles through our bodies? You're going to have DNA breaks. You're going to have higher cancer rates. My cat just died a couple days ago of cancer at 10 years old. You know, I mean, it's like everybody dies of cancer these days.
Yeah, what the cosmic, I was just researching that this morning. The cosmic ray input is up like 19%.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was last year. We don't even know I don't even know what it's up this year. I haven't, like I said, there's so many things to study about this. It takes a long time to do a lot of, you know, research into the different aspects of all the things happening.
I know if people would just do some research and use their own independent thinking here, the evidence is just mountainous. Here's another thing I discovered last night. Have you ever heard of Professor Jim McCanney?
I've heard the name, but I'm not familiar with his research.
Well, he talks about how NASA's peddling all this garbage junk science out to the public, and that comets are not icy little snowballs like they tell us. He says that the history of the passage of comets are one of the things they don't want the public to learn about. Well, anyway, I found McCanney mentioned on a show a few years ago that as extra solar system objects come in our way, we're going to be discovering things like new planets, new moons, etc. And on NPR posted this late last year, 32 new planets discovered. So this could just be another dot connector here.
Yeah. Oh, well, they got better technology to see out there farther, and they've now been able to recognize when they're looking at a star and they see a little blip on it that that's a planet going around the star in an orbit. So they've been able to find planets that way. But, you know, this event, whatever it may be, coming up, you know, it's going to have epic proportions for the world and change the world as we know it. You know, what I'm really interested in lately is just researching Atlantis and things like that because there's a lot of, that all ties in together. I think that Atlantis went underneath, I think that Plato was wrong in his time frame because you think about it, that was thousands of years before Plato's time. And I suspect that Atlantis went underneath the water during Meltwater Pulse 1A, when the oceans rose tremendously fast. Nobody really knows exactly how fast they rose, but they went up hundreds of feet, what could have been, you know, a mere hours. So, and that was something that flash-melted glacier water, you know, totally just flash-melted these glaciers and caused a huge meltwater pulse, and it actually stopped the ocean currents, which it was when we were coming out of the ice age, coming out of the last ice age, basically. I think that most of the things that, you know, that are talked about in religion and through the myths and things like that have some sort of basis due to earth changes. Like, for instance, if you look at a satellite map of the Strait of Gibraltar, you will clearly notice that at one point in time when the oceans were 400, 500 feet lower, that was just a valley of land, the whole Black Sea area and that thing. And that's where the Noah and the Gilgamesh flood stories originated from in that region there. And that as the ocean levels rose, the ocean water broke through that little tiny chunk of land we know as the Strait of Gibraltar today and flooded that whole region, that whole valley region there. And that was probably what accounted for, you know, the flood of Gilgamesh and the Noah's flood. So, you know, most of these things that happen and have myths, like, for instance, dragons, you know, the myth of dragons, they cut throughout history. We don't find any evidence, any bones, any dragon bones. No, I believe a dragon is a cosmic event. That's, you know, it says right in the Christian Bible that, you know, they looked up in the sky and there appeared a great red dragon. So, you know, there's a lot of interesting things that tie together.
Well,
okay, folks, that's the end of pre-recorded segment two. We're going to be coming into another break here in about probably less than a minute. There's the break. We'll be back. You're listening to The Light of Day on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, August 7th, 2010. Stand by for The Light of Day.
Speech guaranteed. You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
Folks, welcome back to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, August 7th, 2010. Now, folks, the reason we're doing a pre-recorded with Lucas here is because it was incredibly hard to even get him to try to come onto my show. I mean, I've been working on this for the last few months, so I just took advantage of the when I could do the interview with him, and I did it. So back to segment... pre-recorded segment number three, which is actually going to get cut off on the tail end because I screwed up when I did this part. But like I said, if you want to hear it, the interview in its entirety, please go to my Archives Miscellaneous subpage. So back to the interview.
Well, it was interesting what I heard you mention on John Moore's show Sunday about the Bermuda Triangle, because... Oh, yeah, that would be a great idea, just throw in the UFO thing with it all so nobody could figure out why planes are, you know, not allowed in that area.
Well, it's not that they're not allowed, but you know, I'm sure that there are days when the water is very clear. You know, I know I've lived down by the ocean before, and I've seen that some days the ocean is a lot clearer than other days, and other days it's very murky due to currents. And, you know, certain days, pilots might have gone over and seen things that they weren't supposed to see. Google has that area blocked out for some reason. I mean, it's obvious it's not very deep compared to the rest of the ocean, and they can clearly show the ocean floor in much deeper areas, so you have to ask why they have that whole area there blurred out. What was interesting about that is that's where I've always suspected that it would be, and then when Google Earth, I finally got a chance to check on that, and that area was blurred out, you know, because if you think about, you know, the glaciers, where they were throughout the Ice Age, right, humans couldn't have lived where the glaciers were, or they couldn't have lived, you know, very close to the glaciers, because the growing season wouldn't be very good, but, you know, they would probably live down along the southern part of the United States, throughout the, you know, the Caribbean islands, and south of that.
Well, as a cosmic event materializes, you think we're going to witness more cataclysmic damage to the northern hemisphere versus the south?
I don't know, to be honest. I really don't know. Because if you look at the moon, you know, you look at the backside of the moon, it seems that the south part of the moon is riddled with many more craters than the north. So, and I've noticed that a lot of the comets that came and struck the sun in the last couple of years or went around the sun, they all came from the south. So that would tell me that whatever drags these objects out of the Oort cloud and through the asteroid belt or whatnot, that, I mean, we might not even see anything. I mean, we might not even see, I believe we will, but we might not even see any object. It might be so far out there that its gravitational pull just affects the asteroid belt and the Oort cloud and, you know, just throws thousands of objects in our direction. You know, there has been a lot of fireballs that people have been seeing in the sky lately. That's been quite, I've never seen such fireballs as I've seen in some of these videos lately.
Yeah, I really appreciate your postings on your website on that, because I have not even heard about some of those.
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit behind. I've had a lot of stuff to do. I haven't had a chance to put much news stories up in the last couple of days, but yeah, I'm going to get more on that in the near future here.
What do you think's up with all the sinkholes? There's been 100 in Florida this year, and I see that Colorado Springs had 3 of them within the last, like, 2 months. There's one that popped up in Milwaukee here.
The changing Earth's crust. You think about this, you know, it's like the Earth's crust floats on top of a liquid pool of magma. You know, we're basically, it's like an island that's not attached to the ground. It's like, I don't know, like a skin, like an orange peel, you know, and, just like in that movie 2012, he demonstrated how the Earth's crust can slip around, you know, based upon, I guess it's based upon the mass of where the greater mass is on the Earth relative to the gravitational pulling on the planet. You know, wherever the greatest mass of the Earth is going to be is where the gravity is going to pull the most on the planet, so... you know, John Moore made a lot of sense in what he said about the slosh. You know, when the world changes, that high water that's around the equator, because of the Earth's spin, you know, that water is going to slosh around the planet. And that's really the only way you can flood the entire planet. You know, there are hundreds and hundreds of global flood stories from ancient times, but yet it's impossible to flood the Earth through rain. It literally, there's not enough water on the planet. Even if you melted all the ice caps and everything, it would be impossible. It would have to be some sort of event that caused the water, the oceans, to like slosh. Like, say, if you had, you know, a bucket of water and you sloshed it around, I mean, it's pretty much the way it would work on the planet in a large scale.
Have you ever heard of an ancient text called the Mahabharata, also known as the Rig Veda?
I've heard of it. I've never really done any research into it, but what's it about?
Well, I have a lady researcher friend in Wisconsin that tells me about this because she hears my interviews with these people that they're always buried in the Bible to prove that Planet X is coming our way. But she asked if any of these people have ever heard of the Mahabharata, because this predates the Bible.
Yeah, there are a lot of interesting things that predate the Bible. You know, I mean, for instance, is it just a coincidence that you know, the Byzantine calendar starts at approximately the time there were a lot of, you know, catechisms on the planet, and at the same time it falls in the line of the 3,600-year pattern? You know, it's a big coincidence that that all lines up like that, and also the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and when they look at the area, they found that other surrounding cities were destroyed at that time, and, you know, the fall of Jericho, the end of the Egyptian, that particular dynasty, I forget exactly which one it was, the end of the Minoans, the Sup civilization, the Zia civilization in China, all these, you know, these civilizations just came to an abrupt halt about that time and had to restart. Same time as the Exodus, and, you know, you look at the 10 plagues, you know, if you ever get a chance, you need to watch that old biblical movie, oh, I forget what it's called, the one, I think maybe it's called The Bible, where Charlton Heston plays, Moses. You know the name of that?
I think I recall that. That was back in the 80s, wasn't it?
Well, I forget what the name of it is. But anyway, in there, he, you know, the different things he does, he throws a serpent he throws his cane, which is a serpent, into the ocean or into the water, and it turns red. You know, and it's just all the symbolism of the serpent. You know, the, The serpent, I believe, is the object, the dragon, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, Nibiru, all the same thing.
Well, my friend John DiNardo, he's sort of like been the co-host on my radio shows. He believes that God is sending Planet X our way to destroy us. What do you think of that?
Well, maybe he doesn't send it. Maybe he created it and put it on a 3,600-year orbit because he knew that that would be the... for instance, on this planet, humans almost don't fit on this planet. Every single creature on this planet has an equilibrium with the other creatures around it. For instance, let me give you a great, for instance, the cicadas. At nighttime, the cicadas come out. They make as much noise as they want. They can mate. They can do their thing. The birds, leave them alone. They don't mess with the cicadas at night because birds are sleeping. Well, as soon as the sun starts to come up, the cicadas completely be quiet because they need to hide from the birds while the birds are awake during the day. And it's just perfect.
Coming into the break, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live Saturday night, August 7th, 2010, on the Orion Talk Radio Network, broadcasting from the monsoon-stricken Sonora Desert of Tucson, Arizona. And yes, it's pretty muggy out there, folks. We're playing a pre-recorded interview with Lucas. This is segment number 4, so we'll carry on here. This is 7 segments total to play.
But I think that they're just, they're robotizing this whole thing, and because they want to be able to protect the country from foreigners. I mean, the Chinese have a vested interest to expand. From what I'm told, I can't verify this, from what I'm told, the Chinese soldiers are told that you're going to get your women in America. Don't worry about Chinese women. There's not enough to go around. You're going to get all your women over in the States. So... I think that it's basically to protect this country.
Maybe that's why Walmart there in Arkansas has some underground bunkers.
Well, yeah, there's underground facilities all over the place. And that's another thing I wanted to mention is people don't want to go to screwing around with these people. Every disaster movie you see on TV, where they have a secret facility where they're trying to save the population, whether it be 2012 or Deep Impact or whatnot, there's always a scene in there where they show hundreds and hundreds of people, or maybe even thousands, outside the gates, pounding on the gates, begging to be let in. Okay, that's not the place you want to be, because in real life, they're not going to put up with that. In real life, they're just going to shoot everybody. So it's best that you leave those people alone. It's best that everybody leave those people be and make your own way. And if you're not a problem, I don't think that they're going to have a problem with you, because they don't want to extinguish humanity. They want to make sure humanity in the United States goes on.
Right. They're always going to need a slave labor worker bee force out there. And I've even heard Marshall Masters say that, confrontation is not the route you want to go after the dust settles, because they have patented all the seed stock at the Savelbad facility up there in Norway. And that's how they're going to, one way they're going to control us so we don't go into confrontation with them.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, you know, he who has the seeds has the power, that's for sure. And, you know, it's going to be like that. I believe, honestly, I believe personally that there's going to be two events. That there's going to be one, and then, which isn't going to be as bad. That's going to be also known as the tribute, I mean, the rapture, whatever you want to call it. I think it's going to be the first event that's going to take out most of the coasts of the country, I mean, of the world. And since, a good portion of the population actually lives on the coast, it's probably going to wipe out about a third of mankind. And then we're going to have a period in between there where it kind of goes back to normal a little bit, but not really. You know, things are hectic and horrible, but then I think there's going to be another really, really, really big event that's going to change the world, change the orientation, maybe even change the days of the calendar. Because, I mean, if you go from the ancient Egyptians having to go from a 360-day calendar to a 365-day calendar, you'll also notice that the temperature dropped on the world when it happened. During the last event, the temperature was about a degree hotter than it is now. And after the event, the temperature dropped a little bit. So it seems like whatever gravitational force is out there pulls the planet a little bit away from the sun. Okay? It almost seems like that this event, to me, after looking at this for over and over and over and over again, my best explanation, and I could be totally wrong, but this is my best explanation, that whatever is out there, at certain points in time, it pulls the Earth away from the sun, you know, maybe by a couple days orbit, like say the last time it was 360 days, now it's 365, maybe next time it pulls us, you know, another 10 days away, we go into an ice age. Okay, the planet drops into an ice age. And then what happens is, eventually the object comes up on the other side of the sun, you know, thousands and thousands of years down the road, after the ice age is complete, and starts pulling the world back towards the sun, and that's why it gets hotter. That's why we go into these 20,000 year warm periods. So I think that this cyclical event has been happening for millions of years, and the humanity has been here. We've had technology a long time ago that's been wiped out by the waves, and it just resets. And, you know, there's billions of us.
Well, there is a Planet X researcher out there. I'm not going to mention the name, but they mentioned on my show that the moon is not in the right part of the sky anymore. And back to that rapture thing, that'll more than likely be a staged event by what you mean by that, right?
Well, no. I think that'll be part of the cosmic thing. I think that the cosmic event is a two-part deal. And, you know, I can't even base this upon any facts, but all I'm basing it upon is actually prophecy. And I typically don't do that, but there's a lot of connection between a lot of these prophecies, like between Mother Shipton and between Nostradamus and Edward Gacy. There's just a lot of tie-ins there, how they talk about, Nostradamus talks about two different events. Mother Shipton talks about two different events. And the interesting thing about Mother Shipton is it really doesn't matter who wrote that. It was first published in the 1600s. So whoever wrote that had great insight into the future. And I think possibly that prophecy isn't exactly what people tend to believe it is. It's not, in a lot of cases, somebody actually seeing the future. It's just somebody having knowledge of a cyclical event. Any one of us, if we knew about, like, say, any survivor of this event right here, right, they can write it down, and if they know the time frame that it's going to happen again, they can sound like a prophet 3,600 years into the future because of the fact that they just knew how things were going to pan out when this object came whipping around through space again. So I think that maybe these prophets like Nostradamus and Mother Shipton, since they were around hundreds and hundreds of years ago, they might have actually had access to texts and books that just no longer exist today, ones that were lost throughout time or hidden by the elites or whatnot, or just lost in fires and things like that. So I think maybe these prophets might have had just inside information.
Wow, great insight there, Lucas. Hey, one of my first questions right off the bat when I started getting into this, and John Moore is primarily the guy that woke me up to all this, one of my big questions right off the bat when I started getting into this was, how do we know they're not just going to unleash all their weather warfare technology to make us think these climate changes are going on? I mean, how much of this weather phenomena you think is actually being created by the boys with the toys?
I don't know. Can't really answer that question because I don't have information. I don't have top secret clearance to anything, and I wouldn't even want top secret clearance to anything. You know, it's a really tough question because, you know, here on one hand you have people saying they're going to be able to manipulate the weather, okay? But here on the other hand, you have some of the most basic tasks that can't be accomplished, you know, in our society. So it's like, you know, it's really a tough question, you know, how deep it really goes and how much. I think that the majority of it's just being affected by the cosmic event, by whatever's out there with the gravitational pull.
Well, I guess another way to phrase it is, do you personally think that they have the technology to alter the weather and that technology is pretty old already?
Well, I think they have the technology to make it snow and rain in certain places just by seeding the clouds or actually making it dry in places by making the rain fall out of the clouds ahead of time. I think that they can do that.
How about steering hurricanes?
I don't know. I've heard different theories on that, and I don't know what to believe. So I haven't done enough research into it to make an educated guess. I've heard the theory of being able to beam a laser beam down and basically guide the eye of the hurricane because they could heat the water in an area and basically guide the eye. I think that it could possibly be done. I don't know if they're actually doing it. It might be future technology. Who knows? As for earthquakes, yeah, I'm sure that they can probably use ultra-low frequency waves and make a place that's already have a lot of tension, you know, an earthquake fault that's already built a lot of tension. They may be able to release that tension using ultra-low frequency waves, but at the same time, they cannot make earthquake happen with no fault. And they can make earthquake happen with a fault that's just probably had an earthquake and released all the tension.
Coming into the break, folks, we'll be back after the top of the hour. You're listening to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day and Orion.
Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.